last week with the time we had learning to walk unto all pleasing. It's part of our walk that we continue to grow and mature in our faith. And it takes a lifetime, doesn't it? Yep, because as long as we got an earth suit, the Holy Spirit still has a home. So we got to get used to having him around, in us and through us. What a wonderful, wonderful gift the Father has really given us, the gift of his Spirit. His very life, his very character, his very nature. And last week we were looking at some things that Jesus talked about. John 8:29, Jesus is our example. So if we'd go to the Gospel of John, please. We will probably be in John's Gospel for the remaining part of this morning. John chapter 8. That was where we left off last week, John chapter 8 and verse 34. And Jesus was addressing, as usual, the scribes and the Pharisees that were always giving him a hard time because they just didn't understand and believe that he was the Messiah to their nation, and they saw him just as an earth person, not really even the prophet that he was for his time and for all time. So there was always a clash of religion and relationship coming together. Then said Jesus, that's 31, to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And a lot of times I've heard that particular verse, verse 32, was one that many of us memorized in our early years of our faith. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the verse above that really puts that in context, because the condition is, if you continue in my word. You see, there's a lot of responsibility that we have as believers. Yes, our salvation was given to us freely by the Lord, but yet there's an expectation of the Lord on our part that we will do our part. And in order to know the truth, because today, outside of God's word, there isn't any. If you think about it, even in school now, truth is not taught. That there is nothing concrete. There is nothing that sets. There's no such thing as absolute truth in today's thinking. However, that's because they're thinking outside of Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Those are very singular, very particular, very specific. So he is the truth, and his word is the truth. And so if you continue in my word or my doctrines or my teachings, then you're my disciples. A disciple is a disciplined follower of the master. That's why they're called disciples, because they were disciplined to follow him. They had, for the most part, as unsaved, as much self-discipline as it took to follow him. But there was always a lot of incidents where they weren't saved yet. And so that gave them the opportunity, when pressures came, to respond very differently. They argued over things. Sometimes you'd think they didn't like each other, their interactions between them, but yet they were still handpicked by the Lord as these are the ones. It's these 12. Yes?
In the tradition of the day, the disciples used to pick their teacher, but Jesus was different. He picked his disciples.
Yes. Yeah, and don't we do that sometimes? We like to pick the one that we follow. But it's true. And so Jesus spoke some very challenging things. To us, who now have the Spirit, we have a lot of revelation and understanding about who and what he was talking about. But then, without the Holy Spirit, they didn't even know when he started talking about what his end was going to be. And it took him a long time to nurture them to that point, to prepare them for his departure. And you get into John of the later chapters, 14 and 16, and he starts talking about that he would not leave them comfortless. And he starts talking to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit wouldn't come until Jesus left. Things like that, that was way over their head. John 5:30, because I don't want to stay in where we were last week. I want to go continue on because there is a pattern of what Jesus is speaking. John chapter 5 and verse 30. Now remember, this particular teaching about that we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, increasing in the knowledge of God. And this is part of the process. And Jesus himself said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. And I think it's important for us as well, if we will pattern our life in that manner, I can truthfully say, I can of my own self do nothing. Well, I can fix a few things. You know, but when it comes to walking out our walk, if it weren't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to. We wouldn't even know where to start. And even Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. In other words, I'm not gonna step out ahead of the Lord. Do any of you have a godly concern about that it's possible for us in our decision making in everyday life that it might be possible that we could step out ahead of the Lord? It doesn't mean he didn't want us to do something, but maybe the timing wasn't so great. And Jesus was very meticulous about that. Every detail of his life had to be exact and precise. There was no room for error in his life, because you got to remember, he was God in an earth suit. And everything he did was precise and perfect, and the time was absolutely precise. Even to the exact minute that he died on the cross was the exact minute that the Passover lamb died. Even to that degree of accuracy and precision, he lived his life. But he's also speaking to his disciples and instructing them, don't take the time to check with God. Just go do stuff. And he says, as I hear, I judge. Who do you think he's hearing from? Who do you think he's getting his instructions from? The Father. And as he hears, how does the Father give voice? By the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. How do we hear? Okay, so that's the connection that I'm endeavoring to work into us, because if we want to learn to fulfill God's will in our lives, even though this might seem kind of, well, it kind of has to be precise. We have a perfect example to go from. We don't follow somebody that's wishy-washy, up one day, down the next, people that have no stability. Those are not good examples for us to follow. We should follow the one, the perfect one. And we have the book. As long as we're still allowed to have these in our country, I'm going to keep beating on them, marking in them. And he said, so as he hears, he makes his judgments or his decisions based on what the Father's revealing to him by the Holy Spirit. That's real key to us, too, if we would be mindful to make decisions as the Holy Spirit reveals them to us. Sometimes we think that God's late, I need to do this right now. Anybody besides me ever think that? Once in a while, at least? Yeah? Well, at least I'm thankful he gives us grace to grow. Amen? It's not about getting the Maxwell silver hammer coming down on the head, like the Beatles song. God, that makes that sound like a vicious scene. But it's not like that. The Holy Spirit dwells within each of us, and he leads us and guides us. I did discover an amazing thing one time. If I talked less, I could hear him more. But then he said, and the reason that my decision or my judgment, and it doesn't mean judging people. Making judgments means carefully weighing a situation and learning to make the right choice. And that comes by the Holy Spirit giving us revelation and understanding about what that right choice is. Because we're all capable of making wrong choices. And he said, the reason for that is because I'm not seeking my own will. And I'm finding as things are changing very quickly around us, I think about my own will. Because we each have a will. I have another will, too. So Faithy knows what to do. If I decide to check out. But my will is what I exercise to keep my flesh under control. And that's an important truth as well. Because that can get us in trouble because it's all about how I feel. It's all about my five physical senses. But if my will is, I'm not seeking to do my own will, but God's will for my life and making decisions and choices that have to be made, I'm much more confident. So many people have asked me, and not just here, but because we've lived in Chester for all these years, and people know us in Springfield and Chester, and they say, when are you going to retire? And I said, oh, I did that last year. I just put new tires on my car. I retired. Because I want to have something witty. I don't know. And I honestly tell you that I do not know. But the thing that I am really, really pressed in my spirit about is when I know from the Lord, that's when it's going to be time. Otherwise, you're stuck with me for a while longer. Yeah, but that's a really serious decision to think about. You know, I mean, people like me come and go all the time. But I don't want to make the mistake of saying, okay, God, I got 36 years into this thing, I'm out of here, and take off and leave and miss the most glorious time that I ever could have had. Because all through these years, it seems like his glory just is more consistent week after week, month after month, and year after year than any place or anything I have ever done or been in my life. All the missions trips, and it all comes back to the one place I'm convinced. 2 weeks after Faith and I got saved, the pastor we sat under then was going to, it wasn't even decent enough to be called a prison. It was called the Immokalee Stockade. Immokalee is a little town out in the Everglades with a swamp and the gators and the skeeters. And if anybody escaped, they didn't last too long, because there was a lot of miles that they would have to walk through the swamp and dodge in alligators. And before I ever even read Isaiah, I was asked, or we were asked as a congregation, this was in Florida, if anybody would like to go. There was a guy that brought his guitar and was going to sing some songs. And since I was just brand new, 2 weeks in the, I'll go. Wow. Then years later, I heard Isaiah, "Here I am, Lord, send me." I said, wow, I spoke those words without ever reading them. We get out there, and it was just a cell block. And these characters were literally in a cage. One, they were double bunks, but it was all in one cell block. And when the pastor got his Bible out to start sharing the word, people were defecating and throwing it at us. They were peeing on us, screaming, swearing, reviling every foul thing that could come out of a person's mouth. I wondered if I made a bad choice. I said, I don't ever want to come back here, whether a victim or a visitor. It just was so in your face, the hatred and the venom against Christ that was in us. However, my hope was, way in the very far back of that cell, there was one guy laying up on the top bunk, and he was laying there like this, trying to hear what we were saying. Out of all of these guys, there was one. And it reminded me of the one. You could be the one. And that's when, that was my first missions trip, was to that prison. And the reception that we got for going there, it made me tough really fast. When I bring you scriptures about how Peter says, count it all joy, rejoice when people mock you and revile you, I learned that more than 30 years ago, so it's not new to me, because that's how I used to treat Christians before I got saved. And I'll never forget where I came from, and none of us should. We should rejoice at where we were, but more so where God has us now. But I never wanted to step out and do something on my own. It always had to be, I really needed to hear when to buy a house, when to have our children, a lot of things that we all make decisions in life. But if we make the wrong one, it can really wreck things down the road that we can't even see yet. And it's important to know. But the will of the Father which has sent me, I seek that. A lot of things are clearly revealed in the Word about what His will is, but some are not so easy to discern. You have to come to know Him through His Word, and then you know what His will is in many instances because of His nature, because of His character. John chapter 7. Moving right along. At least I put them in order today. That's good. Helps me. And here, he says it again. Jesus causes division. Everywhere he went, he caused division, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Everywhere you and I go, it causes division. You may not see it always manifest, but it happens. You can walk into a room, and people already know something's different. They're very aware. They just don't know what it is, but it's the Holy Spirit. The other day, I thought, oh, I can get gas at the Jiffy Mart. I was the only car there. And within 10 minutes or less, there wasn't a pump available. Because why? You bring God's favor. You bring his blessing. I've shared that with you before. You go to a restaurant and there's hardly anybody there. And soon after you're there, the place starts filling up. You go to the store. Everywhere you go, you bring God's favor and his blessing. Because God is a God of blessing and prosperity. I don't seek prosperity. It seeks me. God is looking for people to prosper and to bless. And why does it happen? Because we learn to do his will. And anyway, coming down to these verses, John 7:16. Oh, he was answering a question. Verse 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knows this man letters, having never learned? It's because he wasn't taught by man, was he? Although he worked with his dad in a carpenter shop, but yet he would go to the synagogue, and even as a young lad, he would sit on the steps and just talk scriptures. And they just marveled, how could he do that? Nobody taught him these things. The Holy Spirit taught him these things. And so when they were marveling, and of course he always knew what they were thinking. Holy Spirit always knows what you're thinking and what I'm thinking. So he answered them and said, my doctrine. Now before, back in chapter 5, he said that he did not come to seek his own will, but the will of the Father. And here, he said, my doctrine is not mine, my teaching. What I'm bringing to you, it isn't mine, but he that sent me. And I'm really very concerned about that personally. I've told you all these years that a lot of you have been here, if God does not give me an opening scripture, we're not having one. It won't come from me. I've made that vow that if he doesn't give me a specific word for every week, and sometimes I don't have it until I get here, but I wouldn't tell you that. It's not to be needed, but I know how important it is. I know how important it is to come and prepare for Sunday. And a lot of you would still be sleeping, but God didn't call you to be here at 7 o'clock. So you don't have to worry about that. But he might put it in your heart to be someplace else with a particular person at a particular time because it's more needful that you be there and to hear and see what the Spirit of God wants to use you for that day. But I care very much about our meetings. I love that we can flow freely. I love the fellowship. I love the huggy breaks because we all need fellowship. Didn't Jesus often send his disciples away just to go and fellowship and hang out for a while? Because he said, the world is going to always be filled with needs. But there needs to be a time of fellowship. There needs to be a time where we can just be real with each other. And so, but he that sent me. And if I didn't have an opening scripture, but just because I didn't have it doesn't mean that it won't come. It could come through any of you. And I would hope that if it ever happened that way, that you would be obedient and bring it. because that's why we're all here. We're learning together. We encourage one another in our growth together. We're a family of God, and we should be able to recognize, like 2 weeks back, and we can't always make something happen like what happened 2 weeks ago. That was very spontaneous. It was very beautiful. It's been a long time since I heard a lot of people singing in tongues, and how beautiful it was and how it added so much more. Some prophesying, things like that, that the Holy Spirit so loves to do. But we got to come willing to be used. And when that happens, God happens. So we don't come with our own doctrine. They're His. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And you have every right to judge what I say. If I speak the truth, if I speak the word of God, the Holy Spirit is going to show you that, because I don't know how to fake it. Me, you're you. But if there's something off the wall, the Holy Spirit's going to show you. And my life is an open book to every one of you. Because ultimately, one day, I've also read the part that those who teach are going to be held to a higher degree of accountability in the body of Christ. And one day when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I will give an account for what I taught or what I didn't. There's going to be an accounting for every single one of us. Everyone in the body of Christ is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day and give an account for your life. What did you accomplish? So I think about stuff like that. There will be rewards. And then there's a period of things that you might be shown what we could have had and didn't, because I did it like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. I don't know where he went, but he did it his way. Spent a lot of time in Vegas. Probably had the hottest dice in the house. I don't know. Had a good voice. I don't have those qualities, but the principles are the same. And then John chapter 10. And I'll probably stop with this one. I really liked John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd. And something else that was very helpful to me as well is taking care of the very elderly lady's property with all the painting and care of that, and Karen Neely's son. He kept all the fencing for the sheep and kept out the predators. But I learned so much about watching the way she cared for her sheep. Oh my. You have no idea how. Well, you can read books that other people have written. But I spent 30 years on her property. That's a lot of observing. And she had sheepdogs too. And you know, she had this one that when Faith and I would show up to work, that little dog, I wanted to boot him. He'd come up and he'd just start snapping at your ankle, because she trained him. She was so old, she couldn't go out and keep her sheep. But she had this little sheep dog, and every time those sheep, she wanted them to go to a certain part of the pasture, she went ahead and opened certain gates, and gates would close, and new ones would open like life. And that little dog running around with his little teeth, nipping at the sheep. And he was fast. And if that little dog saw them trying to break apart, he was so fast that he would just scoot right around the back of the sheep and come right in on the other side and bring them right back to where they were supposed to be. And I thought, wow, I do the same thing. I don't nip at anybody's heels, but I don't always like the word he gives me to bring either. You know? But when he talked about being the good shepherd, he really is a good shepherd. And because he gave his life for the sheep. And I saw Mrs. Holloway do that. It was such a life of devotion and commitment. And sometimes I feel that way. 36 years is coming on February 6th. This has been a major part of my life. But I can't think of anything I'd rather do than to do in this season of my life. I just love to be here. I love to be with all of you. I've come to know you and love you, and I'm probably getting too content. But Paul said to be content whether you have a lot or whether you have a little. Well, I learned to be content when there was little. Now I'm greatly content. But let's get to the scripture here. I'm running off at the mouth again. Oh, I have to stop at verse 10 along the way. This is so important for you to memorize so that you can recognize when certain things happen in your life and who's doing the doing. Jesus said the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I never knew before being a Christian that such a life was even possible. And the quality of life could be like this. It didn't even enter my thinking. And Brad, I'm sure it didn't enter yours either, did it? No, we didn't live like this. But our salvation was instant, and things happened instantly that would just make your head spin. But I'm going over to verse 30. Is he really going to get there? Yes, sirree, here he is. I and my Father are one. That's all there is there. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And I would like to say, when one sees you, he sees the Father. That's why people get very uneasy, very edgy sometimes when we, and it isn't just our family, but people that we know, they get very uneasy. You just walk into somebody's house invited, and if they know you're coming, they'll do everything they can to leave before you get there. Sometimes you just got to go uninvited to get the best results, because they don't have a chance to escape. And then you can share the hope of the gospel. Because as we grow, we have to realize that's what people see in us. That's who they see in us. And that explains a lot of the reactions that you may get when you were working in the hospital. And people weren't always showing you favor. Because they saw in you a whole different spirit. And it can be really irritating. It can be aggravating. And they don't always know what it is. They just know you're not one of them anymore. All my druggie friends, I had no trouble leaving them because they all left us. Because we were that serious. We weren't doing that anymore. And there was an instantaneous deliverance, just like that. Every drug that we ever did. Yesterday I got invited to go down and speak at the, it's down in Swansea, and it's called the Potash Bowl. And you know what I thought? There's nothing but ashes left in the pot because I smoked all that was in the bowl. Come on now, don't you ever remember any tidbits out of your BC days? They're so perfect for now. Potash, well, that's what's left. You smoked it all. And the bowl is now empty. I don't know why they call this place the Potash Bowl, but I got down there to share the word yesterday, and it was really cool. And I enjoyed it. Well, anyway, we'll stop there, because we gotta save some prayer time if anybody needs prayer. That's always, to me too, that's also very important, that if you came in one way, you can leave in a better way going out.